What if you could shrink a 15-year product development cycle down to just a few months? This isn't a hypothetical. According to new reports from this week, a revolution in material science is underway, powered by AI. And for Western companies, it's a race to adapt or be left behind. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that matters for U.S. and European business. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a single seismic theme, the AI-driven acceleration of material science and product engineering. We've seen a flood of announcements, from the U.S. Department of Energy to academic labs and software giants like Autodesk. The message is clear. The way we invent, design, and manufacture physical goods is fundamentally changing.
That's right, Susie. The traditional trial-and-error approach to creating new materials is being replaced by a predictive, generative paradigm. This week, we'll unpack what this fifth paradigm of AI for science means for your competitive strategy, your supply chain, and your next product launch.
Troy, let's start with the big picture. We're seeing headlines about R&D timelines for new polymers and alloys collapsing from over a decade to mere months. What is the core technology driving this incredible speed up?
It's a convergence of AI models and autonomous robotics, creating what the U.S. Department of Energy is calling a closed-loop learning system. Think of it in two parts. First, you have AI discovery engines, like DeepMind's Genome, which recently predicted 2.2 million new stable crystal structures. That's more than anyone could test in 1,000 years.
So AI generates millions of ideas, but ideas aren't products. How do they get validated?
That's the second part. Autonomous labs, or what some call self-driving labs. For instance, A-Lab, an automated system, demonstrated it could synthesize 36 different target materials in just 17 days. The AI proposes a material, a robot synthesizes it, tests it, and feeds the results back into the AI, which then refines its next proposal. The loop gets tighter and faster with every cycle.
So for a U.S. or European manufacturer, say in aerospace or automotive, what does this mean in practice?
It means the competitive landscape for high-performance materials is about to be redrawn. Instead of waiting years for a new lightweight alloy or a more durable polymer, a European manufacturer could specify desired properties, like heat resistance and tensile strength, and have an AI model design a novel material to meet those exact specifications in weeks. The barrier to entry for material innovation is collapsing.
What about trading companies? How do they navigate a market where new materials could appear so quickly?
The key challenge, highlighted in a recent ID TechX report, is synthesizability, the ability to manufacture these AI design materials at scale. For traders and distributors, the opportunity isn't just sourcing the new material itself, but identifying and partnering with the companies that have mastered the scaled-up production process. Early access to a scalable, high-performance material will be a massive advantage.
So, what's the immediate action for an executive listening now?
They need to ask their R&D leaders, what is our strategy for integrating generative materials design? This isn't a future trend. It's happening now. They should be launching pilot programs to assess these tools and build relationships with the specialized startups and national labs, like those funded by the DOE, who are pioneering this space.
Troy, you mentioned AI models. Let's get more specific. We're seeing terms like MLIPs and graph neural networks in these reports. Can you demystify that for us? What is this new AI toolkit?
Certainly. MLIP stands for Machine Learned Interatomic Potential. Think of it as a highly sophisticated AI that has learned the fundamental laws of physics governing how atoms interact. It can simulate material behavior with the accuracy of traditional, computationally expensive methods like density functional theory, or DFT, but at a tiny fraction of the cost and time.
So it's a hyper-fast, hyper-accurate physics simulator for materials at the atomic level?
Precisely. And this week, we saw how integral these are becoming. The LAMMPS Molecular Dynamics Simulator, a standard tool in the industry, announced enhanced integration with leading MLIP frameworks like MACE and CHGNet. These are now available as pre-trained foundation models, meaning researchers don't have to build them from scratch.
How does this directly affect, for example, a European semiconductor manufacturer or a U.S.-based battery company?
For the semiconductor firm, this technology, as shown in a recent paper on tungsten-boron sputtering, allows for precise defect engineering. They can simulate how to modify a material surface at the atomic level to improve performance and longevity. For the battery company, it means they can use tools like GNNs, graph neural networks, to rapidly screen thousands of potential new Mexene or perovskite compounds for better energy storage, as we saw in multiple reports this week.
So instead of mixing chemicals in a lab for months, they can run simulations in hours?
Exactly. And the data requirements are becoming clearer. One study published on Archive found that for models like MACE, you can achieve high accuracy with as few as 2,000 data configurations. This makes the process incredibly efficient. For trading companies, this means the variety of specialized, high-performance materials for niche electronics and energy applications is about to explode. Sourcing will require deeper technical expertise.
What's the actionable insight here?
Executives must invest in computational talent. Your best material scientist now might be a data scientist who understands how to deploy and tune these MLIP foundation models. The competitive advantage will go to the firms that are fastest at running these virtual experiments to identify winning material candidates before committing to expensive physical lab work.
This all sounds incredibly powerful for creating new materials. But how does this AI revolution connect to designing and manufacturing actual products?
That's the critical next step, and we're seeing it happen. Generative AI is not just designing materials, it's designing the products themselves. An August 14th report highlights how tools from companies like Autodesk and Ansys are reducing design tasks that took weeks down to minutes.
How does that work? Is an engineer just typing, "Design me a better car chassis"?
It's more sophisticated, but approaches that. The engineer inputs the constraints, the connection points, the load it must bear, the material properties, the manufacturing method, say 3D printing. The AI then generates hundreds or even thousands of design variations, all optimized for factors like weight reduction and strength. It often produces non-intuitive, organic-looking shapes that a human designer would never conceive of.
This is where we hear the term digital twin, right?
Yes. The AI generates the design and immediately creates a high-fidelity digital twin for virtual testing. This drastically reduces the need for expensive, time-consuming physical prototypes. You can simulate a lifetime of stress and environmental exposure on a component in just a few hours.
For US and European manufacturers, this seems like a direct route to a competitive edge.
It is. A lighter, stronger, AI-designed component means more fuel-efficient aircraft, longer-range electric vehicles, and more durable consumer goods, all brought to market faster. But there's a crucial new bridge to cross, from the digital design to the physical object. A project called Fab Dreamer, published on August 13th, is tackling this head-on.
Fab Dreamer? What does it do?
It establishes an image-to-physical workflow. It takes a complex shape generated by AI and automatically checks it for structural integrity and manufacturability, adding support structures or thickening walls to ensure it can actually be built using methods like additive manufacturing. It closes the loop from pure digital creation to physical reality.
So for trading and distribution companies, what's the signal here?
The signal is that customized, on-demand manufacturing of complex parts is becoming more feasible. Distributors should be looking at partnerships with advanced manufacturing service bureaus that are adopting these AI-driven design to fabrication workflows. The value is shifting from stocking standard parts to facilitating rapid custom production.
And the core action for executives?
Mandate the adoption of generative design tools in your engineering departments. The ROI isn't just in saved design time, it's in creating superior products that your competitors, using traditional methods, simply cannot design. Set a target. For your next product, at least one key component must be designed using generative AI.
We've covered AI for material discovery and product design. The final piece seems to be putting it all together. We saw a great example from the University of Chicago this week.
That's right. A lab there demonstrated a complete end-to-end workflow. They used machine learning to design and then successfully synthesize two new materials, UCHI-1 and UCHI-2, which are zinc-based metal organic frameworks, or MOFs.
MOFs, what are those, and why are these two important?
MOFs are like microscopic sponges with incredibly high surface areas used for capturing specific molecules. UCHI-1 and UCHI-2 were specifically designed to separate methane, a potent greenhouse gas. This isn't just an academic exercise. It's a direct response to a major climate challenge, creating a tangible material with a clear industrial application.
So this proves the entire closed-loop concept we discussed earlier can deliver real-world valuable materials.
It does. It moves from theory to reality. It's a prime example of what the company Mirror calls the fifth paradigm, the tight integration of generative design like their MatterGen model, quantum chemistry simulations, and autonomous labs. It's a self-improving cycle of prediction, synthesis, testing, and learning.
How does this change the game for European and U.S. chemical and materials companies?
It fundamentally alters the risk equation for R&D. Instead of betting millions on a handful of projects that take a decade, they can now explore thousands of possibilities and get to a viable, lab-verified candidate material in under a year. This allows for a more diversified and agile R&D portfolio, targeting niche, high-value applications.
What's the angle for trading firms and those managing supply chains?
They need to track these university and startup breakthroughs with extreme prejudice. A material like UHICH1 could create an entirely new market for gas separation and carbon capture technologies. Being the first to secure distribution rights or integrate it into a larger system is a huge opportunity. The source of innovation is becoming more distributed.
So for our C-suite listeners, what is the final crucial takeaway?
The era of siloed R&D is over. The future of innovation lies in building or accessing these integrated autonomous discovery platforms. You must either invest in building your own internal capability, combining data science, robotics, and material science, or you must create a strategic partnership with a lab or company that has. This is no longer optional for industry leadership.
All right, Troy. Let's distill this week's intelligence into a strategic summary for our listeners. What are the three key takeaways?
First, the speed of physical innovation has fundamentally changed. The convergence of generative AI and robotic labs means that R&D cycles for materials and products are compressing from years to months. U.S. and European firms must recalibrate their product roadmaps and competitive timelines to reflect this new velocity.
Second?
The tools are here now, and they are accessible. Software from firms like Autodesk and Ansys, and open-source simulators like LAMPS, integrating MLIP models like MACE, are putting generative design capabilities within reach. The competitive differentiator is no longer access, but the skill and speed of adoption and integration into engineering workflows.
And the third takeaway?
The bottleneck is shifting from design to production. As AI generates a torrent of novel materials and components, the key challenge becomes manufacturability at scale, what the ID TechX report calls synthesizability. The most valuable intellectual property will be the process knowledge for producing these new designs reliably and cost-effectively.
So what should executives be focused on next Monday morning?
Three actions. One, launch a pilot project using a generative design tool for a real-world component. Two, task your strategy or venture team to map the ecosystem of autonomous labs and material informatics startups for potential partnerships. Three, start a dialogue with HR and engineering leadership about retraining your workforce for a future where data science and computational modeling are core engineering skills.
A new industrial paradigm driven by AI. The message is clear. The race is on. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Susie.
For more strategic analysis, be sure to subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with the latest developments impacting U.S. and European industry. Stay informed. Stay ahead.